Please make your way in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel. Our reading today is Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. As we prepare to read God's Word, let me encourage you as we think through a passage today. It's a difficult passage, really. It's something a lot of us heard in Sunday school as a Bible story. But Jesus presents really a black and white gospel message to us. And I want to remind each of us that as we are growing in grace, and as a passage like this may hit us square between the eyes, with the gospel, with Jesus, with his blessing, it is never too late, and we are never in too difficult a position for God to be at work in our lives. And that's a great comfort to us as Jesus speaks this word to us. Hear God's word with me from the sixth chapter of Luke. This is verse 46. Jesus says this: "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid his foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Let us pray together. Lord, you are our God. You are our master. You are our king. And in your holy scriptures, you speak to us your holy will. You give to us our marching orders as your children, as your loyal subjects, as your redeemed ones. Lord, it's a noisy world we live in. We hear many voices. They tug at us for our attention, for our allegiance, even for our worship. And as we come into your house this day, we want to know for sure that we hear the voice of the shepherd. You tell us that you are the great shepherd, you are the good shepherd, and your sheep know your voice and they follow you. So we pray that you would work in our hearts to hear, work in our hearts to believe, and work in our hearts that we might obey, so that when we call you Lord, when we say, yes, Master, we are able to keep our word. We are found faithful. All this by your strength, all this by your grace, and of course, all of this for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know that over in the country of Dubai, or the city of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, in recent years, a very tall building was built. It's called the Burj Khalifa. It's the tallest building in the world, standing at 2,716, and it's important, 0.5 feet. It's 160 stories. And can you imagine, with the passage we are considering today about foundations, that it has quite a foundation? In fact, it does. It has 192 concrete piles that are 5 feet in diameter, and they reach down into the earth 164 feet. The amount of rebar or reinforced steel in this structure would measure 1/4 of the circumference of the globe. It sits, this building does, on top of these piles, which is also on top of a 12-foot thick concrete map that spreads the whole, or mat, it spreads the whole area of this giant building. It took 10 years to construct it. That's not all the planning and engineering and architecturing. It took 10 years to construct it, and it cost 22 million man hours. Now, studies before this building were built showed that the rock underneath this great building was weak rock. It was sandstone. It was siltstone. It was not suitable for building such a structure. In fact, the area where this building was built is a seismically active area. The building, when it was completed in 2010, cost a total of $1.5 billion. That's billion with a B. You can imagine all the study, all the engineering, all the planning, all the materials. That every possible contingency was considered when this building was built. You can imagine that they counted the cost, that they wanted this project to be a success, that they wanted their edifice, their building, their skyscraper to stand forever. This was a lot of money. This was a lot of material. This was a lot of man hours. In fact, they studied when they counted the cost what the winds would do at different elevations, what seismic movement would do, what chemicals in the earth and in the groundwater would do to the foundation of this building over time. They considered the storms that would come, the wind and other such things. They looked at every possible thing that could happen because guess what? They did not want their building to come tumbling down. And Jesus is speaking to us today about our lives being a building, and our lives being a building must be built on a sure foundation. I mean, yes, it's amazing to think about this building and the Emirates. It's amazing to think about the cost and the concrete and the reinforced steel and the engineering feat that it is, the beauty that it has, the luxury of living or working in this place. But one day, this building will not stand. But one day, you will stand. You will stand before the judgment seat, the mighty throne, the tribunal, the bench of Almighty God, and you will be judged because you are built with a soul that will last forever. And so when Jesus speaks to us about counting the cost of building our lives on a shaky or weak foundation or on a solid foundation, we understand the cost, the eternity, the weightiness of this message he speaks to us. Jesus says our life is like a building and it must be built on a solid foundation. For as we all know, floods will come. The rivers and the streams will rise and they will crash against us. How does the saying go? Life comes at you fast and you better have some sort of insurance, I think is how the commercial goes. Well, Jesus is saying to us, life in this cursed world, it comes at us fast, and you had better have a sure and strong foundation. Otherwise, you will have a ruinous crash and destruction in your life. And Jesus goes on to say in this message to us that the sensible man, the wise man, he digs deep. He finds the bedrock. And he builds his house on a foundation that is laid upon that rock. And what this person, this wise builder, is like is one who comes to Jesus, one who hears the words of Jesus, but the one who puts them into practice. And so you begin to see, as Jesus teaches us, that if you're going to build your house, your life, on the solid rock, that solid rock is the very Word of God. The very words of Jesus himself. What is Jesus doing in this passage? Well, when he opens up the beginning of our little lesson today, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I tell you?" You can imagine that in Jesus' ministry, whatever point in time it is, maybe a year or so in, that he's gathered lots of followers. We remember from several passages back, he's gathered his apostles, his disciples, the ones he will send out into the world to do ministry. He's gathered disciples who want to be taught by him. But can't you imagine that there's others who are surrounding this band of believers? They like what they see. They're into it, we might say. Their emotions are caught up into it. And they call Jesus Lord. They call him master. They believe that he is something and someone to be followed and believed in. And Jesus is saying, you have a profession of faith, but you have no possession of faith. Because if you had a possession of faith, when you called me Lord, it would be matched by obedience in your lives. And Jesus is telling us there's one surefire way to know if you really mean it when you call me Lord. When you say master, and that's simply this, we hear and we believe and we obey his word and we put it into practice in our lives. You know, many people say they're Christians. Many people attend church. Many people say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus is saying, but if you do not do what I say, if you do not hear my words and believe them and put them into practice, you have built your house on the ground. And your house is built on the ground without a foundation. And it will one day, when the storms come, it will fall over. And great will be the ruin. Dear friends, a true disciple of Jesus Christ hears the voice of the Master. A true disciple of Jesus Christ obediently puts the words of Jesus into practice. And the true believer of Jesus, putting God's words into practice, builds his house on a firm foundation. I want us to go through a quick little exercise. And I want us to build a house, a spiritual house. Build our lives on the word for just a moment. If we were to dig down in the earth to build our spiritual house, we would find Jesus Christ. We would find him as the bedrock. We would get through the sand and through the loose soil, and we would dig down, dig down, dig down until we find Christ and his solid word. And on that, we would build our foundation. On that, we would put up our pilings and our studs and our joist in our roof and our house. It would be firm. It would last. It would make it through the storms. And if you do that, follow with me through the Bible now. And if we do that through the various ages and stages of life, this is what it might look like to build your house on the rock. I was joking with one of you before church. We were talking about being born, and my parents used to say, you were born naked, right? We all were. We were born. We were born into a home, right? God gave us parents. He gave us parents to clothe us, to change our diapers, to feed us, to nurture us, to get us to the doctor. But he also, biblically speaking, gave us parents to put our feet firmly on that foundation that is Christ. And so our parents rear us in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They teach us the word. They teach us to worship. They teach us what is right, what is wrong, what is wise, what is foolish, what will lead to life and what will lead to death. And so we are called as little ones to obey our parents, for it is well-pleasing to the Lord. We're to obey our parents, for it is pleasing in God's sight. And remember, obedience to parents is the only commandment with a promise, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. So as young people, we are born into a home. And if our parents are faithful, they put our feet, our little feet, on the rock, which is Christ, the foundation. And as we obey them, as they nurture us, as we read scriptures, as we worship, as we are discipled, as we listen to the preacher, as we learn our catechisms, and as we make our way into the world and study and learn and work and have a career and work towards those retirement days, we let the Lord be Lord and master over our money, over our marriage, over our families. And you see, as you grow up in this world by age and through stages, if you do that with your feet firmly planted on Christ, the rock, you will have blessing. You will be able to weather the storms. And as your building grows taller, as your house gets bigger, as your responsibilities have become greater, There's a whole lot that can come crashing down. Every day we read in the news of this person, this star, this celebrity, this politician who has failed in life, and they've lost money, they've lost marriage, they've lost respect, they've lost their children, they've lost so much. And then it seeps over into the Christian faith. We see ministers who have so much on their shoulders, they begin to fail. Because underneath it all, their life is not built on the rock, which is Christ. It can be true of our families. It can be true of our businesses. It can be true of every aspect of our life that is not rooted and built on Christ, the firm foundation. And that's what Jesus is warning us against. If you do not have the right foundation, when the storms of life come, and they will, it can all come crashing down if your foundation is not Christ Jesus and His Word and His ways. And so it makes me want to say a couple of things to various ones of us. To the little ones in the room, let me encourage you in this way. Listen to your parents. And parents of those little ones, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There is no more sure foundation. Oh, we want our children to succeed, so we skip church and we go to sports. We skip church to go to an academic club. We travel and we do all these things. And 18 years later, we wonder why our kid is a freshman in college, doesn't love the Lord, doesn't worship Him, but they can make straight A's. Or they can kick a soccer goal or make a basketball hoop. Make sure your foundation is on the rock, which is Jesus. And so there's a responsibility to the little ones, to the parents. Let me say something to the teenagers, the young adults. And I will just be black and white. I'm not speaking to anyone in any particular way, but I just know where I was when I was your age. Drop your attitude and skip the emotions. Life will come at you fast, and God has given you parents. So listen to them. Do what they say as they teach you the ways of the Lord. Those of you who are young adults, those of you who are making your way in this world, build your young household on the rock. It's really hard later in life to go back and fix. It can be done, but do it now. Do it right. Build on Christ. Let Him and His Word be your foundation. Let me speak to some of you who are older, some of you who are midway through or all the way through, or you say, I've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt, wish I could do it over again. You've made mistakes. It's never too late to repair the foundation. You know, here in the middle of North Carolina, there's great business in repairing home foundations. They come in, they look at it, they assess it, they jack your house up, they fix what's broken underneath, and they drop your house back on, and all is hunky-dory. Friends, that's what Christ can do. He can fix a rotten foundation. He can fix a broken set of bricks. And He can come into your life, and He can make the repairs that are needed. You know, we spoke just a few moments ago of this great building over in the Emirates, this Burj Khalifa and its success. And there are many other skyscrapers around the world that have risen up into the sky and stayed standing. But there are also buildings that are in great danger. There's the Millennium Tower in San Francisco. And in recent news, we're told that it cost $350 million to build this building, but it's built on some kind of sandstone and it's sinking. And this building full of luxury apartments where people have invested their money is a little loppy-jawed. Can you imagine the fear and the sadness, even the anger of having purchased something like that, and it's broken? And at a cost of $500 million at least, almost double the price to build it, it can be fixed. They can repair the foundations. But they want to do this before the crash. They want to do this before the storm, before the torrent. They want to jack it up and tear out what is rotten and to fix it. And for some of us, that may mean we need to have our house, as it were, our spiritual house lifted up, put up on jacks. And we need to tear out what is rotten, the worldliness, the life of ease, I'll do it the easy way, the path of least resistance, living by what is good to the eyes, I'll do it myself, I don't need God, a Christless life, a scriptureless life, a life of the flesh and sensuality, a life of the devil, and even a life of maybe subpar Christianity, a life of be good, a life of feel good, a life of do good. And you need God in His mercy to shore up your foundation. And there's only one place that can happen, and that is in the very Word of Almighty God. It's a great grace, I believe, of God Almighty to give us this message and to say, look at your foundation. Look at what it's built on. Is it on the rock, which is Christ, or is it on nothing and will be destroyed? About 25 years ago, our family left Burlington and went to the coast, and we found a little spot of land with a little sliver of a view of the water down in the Wilmington area, and we had a house put up on stilts, and we watch the seasons come and go with the waterway and the birds and the tides and the full moons and the all the wonderful things. But out to the left of our front porch was, well, we called it Redneck Point. Redneck Point was this little jut of land out into the waterway. And house after house had been built on Redneck Point. But it was a bad soil. It was a bad spot of land. And there were the remnants of this house that did not weather this storm. And there was the remnants of this other house that didn't weather the next storm. And there was a man named Rick. He was a good man. He named it Redneck Point, by the way, not us. But dump truck after dump truck would come with concrete and rubble and any kind of junk he could pick up from a construction site. And Redneck Point was a little jut of land out into the waterway that was just rubble and concrete dumped. And guess what it did? It sunk. The water would wash over it, and he would bring in more. And he would dump more concrete, more junk, more rubble into Redneck Point, and it would sink. It would go down into the ocean. It would go down into the waterway. But there was a lot of fun. We loved watching Redneck Point. There were cars coming in and out of there day and night. Lots of beer on the weekends. Lots of boats on the weekends. It was a fun-looking place until the storm came. And the storm came. I headed back to school, but I called home and said, "How did Redneck Point make it through the storm?" Well, it was fun while it lasted, Redneck Point. The storm came, the water came, there was great destruction, completely gone, no more fun, no more rubble, no more boats, no more beer, no more weekends. Friends, there's a lesson for us in this passage. We go to great lengths to protect our brick and mortar houses. I bet every one of you has homeowners insurance. I bet every one of you has a good roof. I bet some of you have alarm systems. You have locks on your doors. You have a termite bond with the local pest control people. You've taken great lengths to protect your brick and mortar house. But I bet every one of us needs a little attention in our spiritual house. We've let it slide. And the fire could come. The storms could come. The enemies could come. Will it stand? What's our foundation? Jesus says the wise man, the sensible man, comes to Jesus, hears his words, and puts them into practice in his life. And yes, in this parable, he's speaking of the storms, sickness, sin, cancer diagnosis, a stock market crash, a job loss, children that have not gone the way we raised them. Go on through the list of the storms of life. But there is a great storm coming. And it's the one you better be found standing for. And that is the storm of Almighty God when he comes to judge this world. Now, for those of us who are believers, that storm has already descended on Christ. The wrath of God was poured out on Christ at the cross on Calvary. And if we have faith in Jesus and we rest in him alone for our salvation, that storm will not come to us, for it has already come to Jesus. But if your house is not on a foundation, if it is not built on the rock, which is Christ and his word, when the great day of judgment comes, that great storm, you will not stand. And so take this opportunity this day, while the sun is still out, to come to Jesus, to hear the words of Jesus, and to put them into practice in your life. Let us pray together. Our Lord and God, we thank you for Jesus being so straight with us, so practical with us. We want to be wise. We want to be sensible. We do not want to be foolish. We do not want to stand and see a pile of rubble and devastation in our lives because we didn't hear and believe your word. And so by your grace, by your mercy, give us faith, give us joy to come to Jesus, to hear Jesus, and to believe and obey Jesus. By your grace, for our good, and ultimately for the glory of God Almighty, this we pray and ask for your help in Jesus' name.